Let's pray. John chapter 12 is where we're heading, but we'll pray and let you be seated. Father, we love you. Sure, thank you, Lord, for another day, another opportunity. God, thank you, Lord, for that blood, that precious blood. And God, thank you, Lord, for our salvation. God, thank you, Lord, for the liberties that we sure enjoy. And God, Lord, we sure are looking for that blessed hope. And God, I just thank you, Lord, that God, until then, that we can abide, Lord, there's work to be done. And God, I just pray, Lord, you'll help each one of us, Lord, just to settle in. God, to just want to serve you until you come, Lord. And we'll thank you for what you do here tonight as we study. God, just enlarge our minds. God, help us to understand. And God, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do, Lord. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Seth, what was it? Prudential? Provincial. Brother David? Provincial. Minwax. That makes sense. That's the color of this floor. So we're trying to get the steps done. Hannah wants them painted pink for the wedding. So, Before I forget, the main thing I want to remember before I forget, I don't know if you saw this week, but our wonderful state did pass another, people don't like me using this word, but it's just the only word I know, stupid, part of law. And husbands, be careful with when your wife goes to the bathrooms, mom and daddies, don't let your youngins go to the bathroom by themselves. The state of North Carolina says that a transgender can go to any bathroom they want to. So be careful. That's all I'm going to say. And if you have to knock one in the head because they done something, I'll get you out of jail best I can. So that's the world we're living in. But they did pass that this week. Made that official, and again, another sad day for our state, I believe. So, amen. I forgot to mention, this week's been the Sword of the Lord Conference at Gospel Light in Walkertown. I think tomorrow night is the last night. They'll have services in the morning, services tomorrow night, and they'll close out. So if you want to go hear some good preaching, I'm sure. I think it starts at 9 in the morning and 7 tomorrow night. So if you'd like to go, that'd be great. And also, if anybody sees anything, I was asking Brother Melvin, Back to Bethel will be cranking up here in about 3 weeks, I'd say. I've not seen anything yet, so if you come across something of what's the plan out there, let me know. And we usually get flyers in the mail, but I haven't got anything yet. So if you see something, let me know. It'll be a good meeting, I'm sure. All right, John chapter 12. It's been a while since we've been here. I've got to figure out how to get my glasses out of my pocket. Silas liked my glasses. John chapter 12. I don't know what kind of Bible you have besides a King James one, I hope. But I don't know what flavor of King James Bible you have. A lot of people have Scofields, and I'm not telling you that's wrong or bad, but be careful with Scofield notes. I will tell you that. He's just a man just like I am. He's been wrong. I've been wrong. We've all been wrong, but the Bible's still right. And just always remember these little things at the bottom of the pages and the little notes that's written along the way. That's not Bible. That's in your Bible, but it's not Bible. Again, those are things that are put there by man. And again, a lot of them are good things. Some of them are not good things. Well, preacher, why are you saying that? Well, tonight I'll probably bust most people's bubbles about what we're going to look at tonight. Not that I know anything. I just believe that a lot of times we hear things and take it for what people say. But I really believe we've missed the mark on what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to begin reading in verse number 12 here in just a moment. But before we begin reading, I've actually got a Scofield Bible in front of me tonight. Anybody else got a Scofield Bible? What does the title of that verse say? A triumphant entry, right? Or the triumphant entry. This portion of scriptures has to do with when the Lord Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem. We know, according to Old Testament prophecy, God told us that he would come riding in on that colt. We will read the account tonight. A lot of people call this that triumphal entry, or they'll call it what a lot of people call it around Easter time. They'll call that Palm Sunday because they wave the palm branches. Most people, and this is one of those parts of Scripture, we're going to be here just a little while, but I'm going to give you the cat out of the bag right off the bat of what we're looking at. A lot of people look at these verses in a joyful type of way of the Lord has arrived. The King is come. And that's really the total opposite of what Christ wanted us to see and wanted them to see. So I hope tonight that you'll put a lot of those things that you've heard throughout time, maybe something that maybe you've even, trust me, I've had to go back on things that I've preached along the ways and think, you know, that wasn't quite right. Even though you might have taught it this way, I hope that after tonight you'll see what I believe what God has showed us. And I think the key to this is we, and I put me in there because it's so easy sometimes to go grab a piece of Scripture and preach something off of it without putting things into context. That's the reason the older I'm getting, the more I like verse by verse studying. You can pull a Scripture, and as I told a man one time when I worked at Freightliner, I said, I can make the Bible say about anything you want it to say. It really can. I can take King James Bible and throw stuff out there. It's in the Bible, but just because it's in the Bible, I can take it out of context or out of place, and it'd be totally wrong, even though it's in the Bible. So a lot of people, again, have taken this partial portion of Scripture and run with it because it is an exciting thing to see what's taking place here. A lot of times, you know, people get, and that's exactly what's taking place here. It's easy sometimes to get caught up in the spirit. Now, that spirit's not spiritual spirit. I'm talking about the fleshly spirit of things. People, almost like a fish sometimes, a fish will get into a feeding frenzy. People sometimes will do that same thing of buying something. You get somebody, I remember one time we were at a flea market one time, me and my wife, and I stopped by. This guy had beautiful knives made out of with deer horn handles on it. And they were beautiful, and they wasn't nobody there. But when I bought one, a crowd, what's he buying? Oh, I need one of those. And it began, the man made a lot of money. I thought about asking, hey, can I get a half price on this thing? But I didn't. But people get into that frenzy of something, and you know, even though it sounds good, I want to be right, and that's what I want us to get to. And I want you to think, before we even read some Scripture tonight, think back, and I know it's been a while, and I hate that. I apologize for that. It's just circumstances between things, and it just worked out that way. But it's been a while since we've been in our John study, but I want you to think over the last times of study, how we have seen this picture of Christ come into play, and over we've seen that trouble with religion. We've seen that trouble of misunderstanding. And it's as Christ has, and if you remember the last time, well, it wasn't last time, time before that, we looked at that great miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead, and that was the seventh miracle that Christ gives us an account of here in the book of John. And again, it's that number of completeness because he's, through every one of those miracles, he's been leading us into something. And I hope you've seen that as we've tried to teach it that way. And the whole span of what he's been teaching them and us is who he is, because the book of John is about what? The deity of Christ and who Christ is and what the purpose of Christ is. So with that in mind, as we dive into these Scriptures tonight, I want you to try to erase some of that thought of maybe things that you've heard. And I know even, and I ain't going to name churches, but I know churches that on Palm Sunday, you know, they make a big deal out of the palm branches and all that, things of that nature. And again, I want us to see what God's trying to show us in these Scriptures. And again, how do you know, preacher, that people are confused? Let me show you a verse, and then we'll start at the beginning. Look down at verse number 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first. The men that walked with him, the men that had seen all these miracles, the men that had heard him speak and had even had private time alone with the Lord, God even tells us that they didn't even understand it. And there's a lot of people, and I'm afraid a growing number of people, that do not really understand the truth about what Christ has done. A lot of people want God as long as it's the God they want. But God didn't come to be a God that they wanted. God came to be the God they needed. And there's a big difference in that. And again, I can't teach this without getting the cat out of the bag first. These people, as they stood there that day, and I want to try to get you to put into your mind, he has just done these great miracles. He's fed the 5,000. He's raised Lazarus from the dead and all these things. And because of those miracles, people have begun to follow them. He healed their sick. He filled their bellies. He gave them a hope physically. And because of that, people began to follow him, but not for the right reason. And a lot of people, and again, it's hard to teach this without going to the end of it first. These same people that we're getting ready to look at, that now picture in your mind, Christ riding in on the colt of an ass. The Bible tells us that the people lined the street and they cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They waved the palm branches in honor of this man. The Bible even tells, I think it's Matthew, it gives that account where they actually would lay their clothing down in the road, that where that donkey would not even step upon the dirt, because here come this great man, the one that fed 5,000, the one that healed the sick, the one that raised the dead. But this same crowd that in these verses are crying out for the king, here in a few pages we're going to find that same crowd saying, "Crucify, crucify, away with him. We'll have no king but Caesar." Same bunch. Why? Because he was no longer what they needed or what they thought they wanted. And there have been multitudes in my lifetime that I've watched fall out with God because God wasn't the God they wanted God to be. God didn't meet their need as financial matters. God did not meet their needs when it come to physical matters. God didn't treat them the way they wanted to be treated. And because of that, those same people that once said glory to that same Lord says, "Crucify him, I don't need him no more." I hope that's not you tonight. But I found a lot of people over the years that that was them. Now, they don't recognize it. They don't understand it. They don't see it. But again, you've got to determine why you serve God. And Christ shows us the reasoning here tonight in these verses. And again, I know that's it's different. It's odd to me to think as we look at these great scriptures, because you would hope. And I do, you know, you would hope as we see this great move, and even the Pharisees, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, the Pharisees themselves says, "We can't do anything. The whole world's come to this man." As a preacher tonight, boy, it'd be great to think that that was true. But I know it's not. I know it never will be. How do you know, preacher? Well, the Lord told us there's a narrow way. And there's few there be that find it. And there's a broad way. And many will go down that road. And a lot of them are going to go to hell sitting in a church bench. So I want you to think not the way that Scofield says this is a triumphal entry, because this isn't triumphal. But I can tell you there's a day of coming. He's going to be coming back not on an ass's colt, but he'll be coming back on that white horse. And there'll be a triumphal entry that day. I can promise you that. that this wasn't that triumphant. He has not come to do what they think he is doing. He's not come to do what they want him to be. And so we'll see a lot of that as we work through these scriptures tonight. And it's a progression. It's the same thought, but it's just a progression as we go through these scriptures together tonight. Let's begin reading verse number 12 this evening. The Bible says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the, notice, King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh, sitting on an ass colt. And again, that is prophecy. We know that's given to us in the Old Testament. But again, how wonderful it would be if after all that Christ has done, that people would flock to him because they truly desired him. They desired what he could do for them. And there's a big difference. Again, throughout these chapters that we've seen over and over how Christ has made himself known. And again, here they shouted and cried to the king, the one that they thought was going to sit on the throne of David there in Israel. But again, for three to three and a half years now, Christ has continually showed them his purpose wasn't coming to set up a kingdom. There is an outfit today that thinks that's what we're doing. We are not here to set up a kingdom. You'll be amazed, and I'm thankful I don't have to deal with this, but maybe we will have to deal with it one day. Don't raise your hand, but I grew up in a Baptist church. I heard it several times. I'm sure Brother Rick and Miss Judy have been in churches along passing through as missionaries. They've probably heard this same saying. Maybe tonight this will identify with you. It may be some church that you've been in and you've heard this. Ushers come, get the plates. Hey, Joe, you pray. Lord, take this money, bless it, and build your kingdom. God's not building a kingdom here yet. There's a kingdom day a-coming, but it ain't now. And church, we're not here. We don't take up offerings to build a kingdom. That's not what God's come to do. We're here to spread the gospel. So, again, well, preacher, is that really, yeah, it's really off base. So let's just be careful as we go through scriptures. But for these three and a half years now, Christ has not told them, I've come to be your king. He's told them, I've come to die for you. He's not come to set up that conquering of Rome, but he's come to conquer sin and death. He's come to set them free, and over he's told them that he was going to die and pay for their sin. And again, they didn't understand. They couldn't see it. It was not what was in their mindset. He told even these men, and they rebuked him. He told them that he was going to die, and what did they do? They rebuked him. They argued with him because they didn't understand him. Throughout all these tremendous miracles, and they, again, I hope that as we studied them together, we pointed out the fact of what Christ was truly trying to show through those miracles. Even with the last of the raising of Lazarus, he showed forth that conquering of death and how we should not fear death because Jesus saved me. He's conquered death. He's taken care of that. But they never truly heard the true message, and I hate to say many people today have done the same. They only hear what they want. They only know of God what they want to know of God. They don't want to hear the other side of the thing and the story. So here Christ has come, and again, keep it in that picture of your mind how here's a group of people. Christ is coming down the road. People are flocking in. They're shouting, Hosanna. They're waving the palm branches. They're excited because there's Jesus. And I wish it was that way. But again, they're not praising God because of what he's come to do. They're praising God for what they want him to do and what they think he should do. So again, many people today are that same way. God's great as long as God's good to them. But the first the first problem that knocks them out of the saddle or knocks the wind out of their sail, I don't like this God. I'm going to go find me another one. Why do you think we have so many churches? Why do you think we got so many shades of religion? Because everybody's looking for something. Not everybody wants truth. Truth hurts. Truth cuts. But truth is still right. So we see again, this isn't such a triumphal entry, but it looks good. Sounds good. Let's read on. Verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how he prevailed, or how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. So this thing's getting bigger. First of all, the Jews have flocked and run out because there's the one that raised Lazarus. There's the one that healed the sick. There's the one that fed the 5,000. There's the one that spoke and the winds even listened. Over and over, they've seen all these great things that Christ has done, and all they've ever seen is how it applied to their flesh. But now as that flock has grown, as that group has rose up and they're shouting, they're waving the palm branches, they're laying their clothes in the street, now the Pharisees kick in and say, we can't do nothing now. The whole world's come to this man. Now the Pharisees, all throughout our readings, what have they done? They've done everything they can to keep Christ out of the way. They've done everything they can to rebuke him and to put him down and to get him out of the eyes of man. But here on this day, even religion steps back and says, we can't do nothing. The world's going after this man. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Over and over, it just gets bigger and bigger. But again, it's not what the Lord ever wanted. Christ never one time through our study has Christ ever said that he came to set up a kingdom or that he wanted to be on a throne. But that's where man wanted to put him. But that's not what he came to do. You know, there's people. I hope again it's not you. But there's people that teach and believe that the cross was plan B. That things didn't go the way God wanted them to go and things didn't turn out what God thought they'd turn out. So we had to go from plan A to plan B, and so Christ had to die. That he would die. There was only one plan. He came for one purpose, and he's going to tell us that here in just a moment. And I've told us this as a pastor for years. He came for one purpose, to die. The Calvary was not a mistake. Calvary was not plan B. But that's what people sometimes want people to believe. They think, well, you know, the Jews didn't want him, so he had to do something different. No. Before the foundations were ever formed, he was going to be that perfect lamb that would die for the sins of the world. So don't get caught up in the hoopla, because it does sound good. Man, let's raise our palm branches and let's shout to God. I've found over years people will shout to God when everything's good, but as soon as everything ain't good, they quit shouting. Why? Because God's no longer the God that they want him to be. My Bible tells me that God never changes. He's the same today. He's the same yesterday. And he'll be the same tomorrow. So if I can shout when he's good, I ought to be able to shout when things aren't good. But why don't we? That's what Christ is showing us here in these verses. But again, the Lord never intended to be that one that would become their king and be set up on that throne here. He didn't come to be their warrior. But again, we find people responding not with their heart, but with their flesh. People get in that caught up in that. Even Paul did that. Remember Paul? He got caught up in that fleshly movement and found himself not where he needed to be. Sometimes we'll get caught up in, I want to say this as gentle as I can because people don't like it when I say this, but, and I love singing. I do. I really, really do. I love good singing. I love our singing. I love how we try to stick to the old hymns and try to sing songs that really worship the Lord, but isn't it amazing how people will flood a gospel singing but won't flood a church? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But there's people that will drive 100 miles to go hear somebody sing and won't drive 10 miles to hear preaching. There is something wrong with that. And I love singing. I really do. But God didn't choose the foolishness of singing. He chose preaching. And we need preaching. I get claimed to be that negative guy all the time, but I just call as I see. It bothers me when I hear churches say, man, we've been getting it on at church. Our pastor ain't got to preach in 8 weeks because, man, the choir gets to sing and it just breaks out and we sing. And I'm all for singing. Why don't they get broke out when the man of God's preaching? There's something wrong. Why? Because they're looking through the eyes of flesh. Songs will move you. There's no man. I was going down the road today. I was going to the hospital down at Winston, and that song "Inspirations" come on about how's that song go? About the word of God shall not fail. Whatever that song goes. What's that song, Russell? You don't know. That's all right. I put them on the spot. Some of you know. I was listening. I couldn't. I was listening to 880. Brother Gammons had it before he preached. He had that song played. And, man, I got excited, man. But it was exciting in a good way because I thought, praise the Lord, that book, it don't matter what this world does. What this book is, it'll never fail. But it wasn't that song that told me that. I already knew that. But God let that song get me back to that place. But again, these people were in a fetish through the flesh in what they were doing. And again, these are the same people that will leave Christ here in just a little while. And if you are only serving God through your flesh, you will too one day walk away. When things get tough, you're going to get bitter and mad, and you're going to leave. And that's what these people did. Now picture them. Praise God, that's him. Here, lay my coat down. The Pharisees even step back and say, we can't do nothing. The whole world's coming after this guy. Really? Are they? Not really. But it sure looks good. You look at religion around about us, and it's sad to say this even died out, but look at some of the movement and the time that we can think of this come as you are, this rock man type churches, pills of the flesh, you know, can't tell the difference between them and the world. And people says, yeah, but it makes me feel good and all this garbage. Even that crowd's not even there anymore for the most part. Why? Because it wasn't real. This flesh will not sustain us. But I'm glad I got something in me that will. I got an anchor that will hold. So, wow, even the Pharisees have changed their pace. It's going to get a little better. Let's look at this. Look on, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. That sounds pretty good, don't it? Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So what's happened? First the Jews. Man, he fed us. Man, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Man, he calmed the storm. Man, he healed the sick. And that's him. He's coming. Even the Pharisees stepped back and said, we can't do nothing. And now look, even the Gentiles come on the scene and say, we want to see him too. That sounds really good, don't it? I preached that little verse a lot. We would see Jesus. And I want us to see Jesus. But not the way they wanted to see Jesus. There's a difference. Why do you serve the Lord? Why do you read this book? Why do you witness to people? Why? That's questions I've always thrown out to us. Why? Why do you do what you do? Because here's people doing things to the world. Looks really good. Man, it's really getting on down there. Man, people are coming and things are happening. And look at all what they do for their young people. And man, it's going on down there. But what's going on? That's the thing that I want to know. And here even the Greeks come and say, we want to see him too. So again, it looks really good from the outside. Let me throw this out here too. I'm on a roll tonight with negativity, but anybody here like missionaries? Anybody like missionaries? I love missionaries. We support missionaries. Brother Rick don't like them. He knows them too good. He has to deal with them more than I do. No. Hey, church, don't we support missions? Don't we? Why do we support them? We want to get the gospel around the world. You ever been on a mission trip? Some of us have. We done some great things, I thought. I won't name names, but hey, will you help support Yo-Yo? Because we're going to go on a missions trip. Well, tell me a little bit about the missions trip. Well, we're going to go down there and build houses. Wonderful. Who's going to preach? Oh, we ain't going to have no preaching. So why are you going on a missions trip? Well, they need houses. We're going to feed the poor while we're there. Well, how many Bibles are you taking? Oh, we're not taking no Bibles. You taking any tracts? No, we're not taking any of them either. Then why are you going? Yeah, but we're going to help them people. How are you? I really think you're hurting them people. Because they're going to think you're a picture of what Christianity is, and you're not. God never told me to go somewhere and build them a house. But he did tell me to go to all the world and give them the gospel. Amen. And again, I can feel it in my bones up here tonight. This ain't real flavorful. But I want our young people to serve God because of who he is. I want us old folks to serve God because of who he is. I want to be more than just the outside. I want to be the inside. So here in verses 20 through 22, even the Gentiles have come on the scene. And again, it would seem that everything's great and getting better and better and bigger and better, bigger. And it would seem that it's reaching the peak of, man, this thing's just going to bust out of here. But again, these people wanted to put Christ on the throne. These people wanted to set up that kingdom. These people wanted Christ to be that conqueror over Rome. And Christ never one time told them that that's the reason he was coming. because it wasn't the reason he was coming. And we know why he came. But even today, and this is the part I'm trying to drive home, even today, and there might be somebody sitting here tonight, you're serving a God that you've made up, not the God of the Bible. God's not always going to be fair in your eyes, but he is always right. He's not always going to give you all the money, but I promise you he'll meet every need. I'm not a prosperity preacher because I don't find, and God does bless. Listen, I promise you, I'm blessed. We're all blessed. But I'm not a prosperity preacher who says, when you're right with God, you'll have all the money and the Cadillacs, and when you're not right with God, you'll have all the problems, because that's not what my Bible shows me. My Bible shows me really the opposite of that. That when people try to serve the Lord, it seems like everything in the world come against them. But they still serve the Lord. That's where I got to get us to. That no matter what, we're just going to praise him, we're going to worship him, we're going to shout to him, we're going to sing to him. Not because I feel good, not because everything's right, but because who he is and what he is doing and what he has done. That's what Christ is showing here in these scriptures. All right, look at verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." After all of what's taken place, Christ speaks. "Vote for me, I'll be your king." That's not what he said. "Get in line, I'll feed you." That's not what he said. He said, "The hour is come." I've told you since we started, this book of John is a timing book. It's a book that Christ says over and over, "The hour is not yet come, the hour is not yet come, the hour is not yet come." What did he say now? It's here. The hour is come that what? He would be glorified. Not crowned, not put on a throne, not lifted up by man, but glorified. Now, what brought him glory? "Well, preacher, they're worshiping him. They're waving palm branches and they're shouting Hosanna and they're laying their clothes down and they're wanting him to be the king. And the Pharisees have even said, 'We can't do nothing.' And even the Gentiles have come in and, man, he's getting the glory." He's getting ready to tell us that that's not what brings glory to him. Before we read it, put in your brain right now. Don't raise your hand. Don't answer out loud. What would you say that would bring glory to the Lord? Don't answer. Answer to your head. What brings glory to the Lord? He tells us here. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but let me say this. I've seen, I know Brother Rick would testify, some of you other men would testify, maybe some of you ladies would testify, I don't know. But I've seen a lot of men, Brother Rick, good preachers. They get wrapped up in the applause of man. Let me stop there. You know why I ask? Not everybody listens to what I ask, but you know why I ask that we don't... "Good job! Woo!" Now we do it for our youngins. I want to encourage them. Why do I do that? Why, you know... Because I don't want man to get built up of... "Man, I really sung that one today, didn't I? Did you hear how they clapped for me?" And then the old Seth's going to get up here and sing, "Nobody clapped for him." They sang the same song. Must not have been the song that helped, huh? I mean, I'm trying to show you. But Brother Rick, back to what I was saying. How many preachers can we name? And we're not naming preachers tonight, but that they... Good preachers. Not saying they're bad preachers. Good preachers. But they got caught up in the circuit of... And I hate to say this. I'm a big preacher, but My doctor says I need to lose weight, but but there's, you know, people say, well, he's one of them big preachers. He's in that big time movement. If you won't come hear a stuttering preacher preach about God, but you'll go to hear some well talking guy preach about the same God, you're not coming to hear about God. Now, I have preachers I love, I do, men that's helping me or have helped me, and I listen to them. Lester Roloff, I love him to death. I like to listen to Lester Roloff. I got to listen to Mays Jackson today. I got to listen to, who's the 9 o'clock preacher, Brother Rick? He preaches Oliver Green. I got to hear Brother Oliver Green. It's my wife's unfavorite preacher. She don't like to hear Brother Oliver, but I do. Everybody's got their own flavors. But I've seen a lot of men get wrapped up in, man, boy, I preached that one, didn't I? Wow. They like me. And before long, they'll not be, they won't be preaching for God, but they'll be preaching for the bus. There's a song about that. Not preachers, but singers. But in all seriousness, I found a lot of men that get caught up in the applause of man, and before you know it, they lose their Bible because, hey, if you drop your Bible, you'll get more people. They used to be King James only, but now they'll preach anything that appeals to the man. They used to really like the conservative side of things and the old hymns, but man, if we bring in some of this new flavored music, we can get bigger crowds, so let's do that. It's happening. It's a prideful thing. But it ain't just preachers. It's all of us. All of us want a little pat on the back. We all like that, don't you? Don't you want to make it, hey, I did right. I did good. But that's when you got to realize, wait a minute, I didn't do that. It was the Lord that let me do that. And I have people, you know, maybe once a year say, hey, preacher, you done a good job. No, I'm kidding. But I always say, or try to always say, to God be the glory. Why? Because I don't want the praise. But if I ain't careful, that'll get in there. That sickness will get inside of us, and you'll be running after that flesh. And that's what's happening here. Is they want to build his man up, and Christ had said, I'm not coming for that. And again, Calvary wasn't plan B. He came to go to that cross. And again, let me just say, these people are flocking to him because they seen him meet their need in the flesh. But these same people will, here in just a little while, find out that he's not really what they wanted, so crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Again, don't be one of those that are sitting in the pew and you're serving God because, wow, look at all these things. And then when things don't happen the way you think they should happen, you'd say, well, I'm going to go find me a different God. Don't sit here and think you won't. Because if you're not careful, you will. And that's what's taking place here. We've got to decide why we're doing this, why we're serving the Lord, and who truly is our God. Is it ourselves, or is it really God? And that's the question. Verse 23. And Jesus answered them. Again, he speaks, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And that's the simple truth that Christ is showing forth. He shows forth if a man never dies, he'll find himself alone. But because Christ illustrates not only what he's getting ready to do, I believe it also should illustrate what we need to do, because Paul said he had to die daily, and unless we die, we will never bring forth the fruit that God desires for us to have and be. Have you died today? Or are you still letting your flesh run your show? Again, and what a, well, an illustration, what a simple truth. And I know garden season's over, but if you wanted green beans, what'd you have to do? You had to put a seed in the ground, and that seed had to die, and because that seed dies, it brings forth life. And it brings up, and you know, I have never, and I know Brother Ed's a big garden guy. Brother Ed, you ever planted one green bean and you get a vine coming up and it only has one green bean? I have never even done that either. Why? Usually you plant that green bean and then that green bean comes up, there'll be a bunch of green beans on that thing. And every green bean has more than one seed. Look at a cob of corn. One seed was put in the ground and died and brought forth life. And that life sprung up out of death. And it grew, and more than one ear popped out on the stalk. And you pull that shuck off that ear, and there's a whole cob of rows upon rows upon rows of seed. Ain't that amazing? And Christ is showing forth the truth that He's got to die and be buried and rise again that we could have life. But also, we must die that we can bring forth more fruit. And that's what He's illustrating. And again, it's just that simple. Verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. God says he that loveth his life will lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Again, I love my life, I do, as far as what God's allowed me to be part of. But what is my life? My life isn't a car. My life isn't a house. My life isn't a football game. My life isn't a job. He's my life. But people that don't see that in themselves, when they... I know people that follow preachers. They're not following God, they're following a man. And when that man leaves that church, they follow him to the next church. God's not in that. Don't even talk yourself into saying, well, God told me to. No, God did not. You're following a man. But if you'll follow Christ, I promise you, you can shout when it's good, you can shout when it's bad. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world and shall keep it into life eternal. Verse 26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Follow what? What did he just tell them they was doing? He said, I had to die and bring forth more. We've got to die and bring forth more. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall he also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. What hour? That hour. He's going to the cross. He's getting ready to be that seed that dies and comes back and lives. And I get to be part of that because I love Him and He loves me and I believe in Him and I've trusted Him as Savior. I've been born again. for this cause. What cause? To die, not to be made a king. And again, that's what they want. They want to make a king. And again, people today want to make Christ something that Christ didn't come to do. Christ came to die. It's the reason we preach the blood. It's the reason we preach the cross. This is the hour he came for. Again, he didn't come to build a kingdom. He didn't come to sit on a throne. He came to die. And again, so many treat Jesus as that spare tire. They use him to meet their physical needs. And when they have a need and he doesn't do it, they don't want him. But can I say tonight, look what he has done. Oh, he only died that I could have life. He only conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's only gone to prepare a place for me that where he is, I can be. Is that not enough to keep us rejoicing? Or we just got to have more for me, for me, for me, for me, for me. It's not about me, it's about him. Why is it not enough? Why are we not satisfied with just knowing we have eternal life? Verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Look at it. He says, the Lord speaking says, glorify thy name. He came to do what? To bring glory to God the Father. He came to do his will. What was it? He came to die. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. It's to me one of the greatest verses that God's ever burned upon my heart. Jesus said, if I be lifted up. Didn't say my, he says, I will draw all men unto me. Again, he filled their bellies and they wanted more. He saved their sick and they wanted more. And now he's come to that place of really why he's came. And again, I ask you, what brought glory? And Christ himself even says, Father, glorify yourself. What was it that's bringing glory to God? His death on a cross is what brought glory. He walked right by the crowd crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. He walked right by the religious Pharisees saying, the whole world's coming after him. He kept on a walking. He walked right by the Gentiles that says, we want to see Jesus. And he kept walking all the way till he hit the cross because he came to die. That's what brought glory to the Father, is that he would come and die for the sins of this world. My sin, your sin. That verse, now let's look at it and I'm done. Look at verse 32 again. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Wait a minute, preacher. We just saw that crowd come running up to him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to touch him. They wanted to hear him. Jesus says that's not what they need. Jesus says there's only one thing that I want them to see. They got to see me on that cross. You know what's going to keep you serving God? You know what's going to keep you loving God? You know what's going to keep you faithful? Is to understand that it's that cross is the reason we do everything we do. He suffered for me. He died for me. That's the reason he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He was lifted up. And that's where he wants every man to get to, is to the place where they see that cross. And again, we make it awful pretty sometimes, but it wasn't pretty. He was bearing the sin of the world. He was beat. He took on him all the condemnation of God that I deserved. He went to hell in my place. And I don't want to praise him because he didn't do what I wanted him to do. You didn't see him on the cross then. Well, preacher, he failed me. He let my mama die. Well, friend, listen, we're all going to die. And I know that's my cold, callous side. Nobody wants mama to die. But I know people tonight that's bitter against God because mama died. God failed me. No, he didn't. He's never failed you. He died for you. And praise the Lord, not only did he die for you, he ever lives for you. These people were praising and worshiping and shouting and waving when it was convenient for them. The difference is we ought to be able to worship and praise and shout and all those things, no matter what's going on around about us, because what he did for you. So tonight, why do you serve him? Why do you love him? If it's not because of the cross and what he's done for you, you're probably going to end up finding yourself quitting. Oh, I'll never quit. My granny always told me, never say never. I've known a lot of people better than me that's quit. What happened? They got their eyes off the Jesus of this book. He wanted them to see, not that he was a king. He didn't want them to see that he was that conqueror over Rome. He wanted them to see that he was that Lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the world, that's going to hang on that cross and die for my sin. That's where I need to keep myself focused. That'll keep me witnessing. That'll keep me praising. That'll keep me serving. That'll keep me giving. Don't lose sight of that. Let's stand together this evening.